Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Connect with God. You are studying Lesson 5, God is Always with You. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. My Lord, we thank you for that resurrection. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our leader and our guide. And we worship you today in this broadcast, and we praise you for results and for the power of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about all week this week about who we are in Christ Jesus, what Jesus did at Calvary or at the cross, which was the place of great exchange. I read from the writings of Dr. Kenyon a number of years ago, W.E. Kenyon, and I'll tell you some of the things that he wrote, and they're just absolutely stirred me, and I'm still stirred up over it 25 years later. And one of the things he talked about was substitution and identification, and talking about the cross being the place of great exchange, what Jesus took that was ours and what he exchanged it for that was his, and the fact that he was our substitute. I mean, I read you scripture yesterday that to our shame, most Christians don't even know it's in the Bible, and when they find out it's in there, I don't know why so many of them want to fuss and fight about it. But I mean, I've had people that, I had one man, just because I read the scripture and because I preached it, he literally set out to destroy me and my ministry and said so. I mean, I heard him say it. And bless his heart, I mean, I didn't write this. I wished I had, but I didn't. I read this scripture from the second chapter book of Acts and preached on it, you know, and so forth. And oh, I'm telling you, he got so upset with me and finally just made it his life calling to destroy my life and destroy my ministry. And he got so deep, he got so caught up in that and got so deep into it that instead of destroying my life and destroying his ministry, my ministry, it destroyed his. And Oh my goodness, that's the last thing in the world that I wanted to see happen. But I'll tell you, that'll happen to you when you set out like that to do things like that. What's happening is Satan is the one that designed religion in the first place. Now, I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about Christianism and all the isms and the ideas about God don't want you to have this and all that passed away and you can't have this and you're never going to be that. And all and it, you know, and you get off into some theological air castle somewhere that, you know, that nobody in the world can understand and who would want to. I mean, I'm no theologian. The only thing I'm pointing out to you are the things that I have learned that work in life up against the storms of life, and they work in the hard spots in times of need of deliverance and power. Amen. So, I read to you yesterday from the second chapter of the book of Acts where the Word of God said about Jesus. It said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Now, this was being preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost when this loud wind-like sound came through the place and made so much noise that people came out of their houses. I mean, people gathered up out there from all over everywhere. And they were all in town anyway, but when this noise hit, it stirred everybody out of their houses and so forth. And right out in the middle of that, praise God, Peter started preaching. And this is what he preached. This Jesus of Nazareth, among you, he said, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my faith, and so forth. And then he comes on down here, and listen to what he said. Verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And then he comes on down in explanation of this in verse 31, and he said, seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Wherefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Now, this is the gospel. Jesus came to exchange with you and me by taking our place to give us His place. Now, we accepted His coming. We accepted His resurrection and His being seated at the right hand of the Father. And in a limited way, kind of, you know, little bit, sort of, once in a while, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, which that's great as He is, but we gave some lip service and a little heart service to His taking our place. But we have never, ever done right by God. We've never done right by the Lord Jesus nor the Holy Ghost, who came here to see to it that this was carried out in the face of the devil and in the presence of our enemies. We've never done right by God in our receiving the fact that He not only took our place as our substitute, but He did it to give us, to give the sinner, the down, the out, the castaway, the world that knew Him not, to give us His place. Oh, my God. Man and woman, let me tell you, you ever get a hold of this, this ever gets down in your heart, I want you to know, you get to the point where you'll shove Satan around to where, I mean, he'll wish you had never heard of this. That's the reason he does his best to get people to rise up and try to destroy it and try to keep you from hearing it and try to lie about ministries, anything he can to keep anybody from hearing this. Because I'm telling you, this is what the gospel's all about. So, excuse me, you begin to realize who we are and the fact that Jesus came not only to bear our sins. Let's go over to the book of Romans. Oh, dear Lord, I'm telling you, this book of Romans, this thing just gets up and walks around when you begin to realize that this is what he's talking about. In the third chapter of the book of Romans, listen to this. Verse 19, now we know that whatsoever things the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, Here's that word now again. Say it out loud. Now. And now is now. Now is now is now is now is now. Amen. It's now, brother. Now, the righteousness or right standing with God, like sin never existed, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now listen to who this is for. Right place with God. A place with God like sin had never existed. A justification, a redemption, a remittance of sin washed in His blood. Hallelujah, by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Now listen to this. Who is that for? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or made righteous freely by His grace. Hallelujah. It's for everyone that believes. Now then, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I never will forget the day that I first saw some of the things that I'm fixing to share with you right now. I mean, it just absolutely, well, like the saying goes, it blew me away, brother. I mean, I sat there for a little bit. I stuttered around. I didn't hardly know what to say about it. I'd been reading it, and my mind was shocked. My consciousness was stunned. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. I could hardly say anything. I'm going to share it with you right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, thank God I'm an any man. And when I saw that, I thought, well, that's for sure. I mean, I've fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, so is everybody else. And it's upon all and unto all them that believe. Why? Because Jesus took our place not only to take our sin, but to give us His righteousness, give us His life, give us His place with God. And I began to say, do you mean to tell me that I have the same place with God that Jesus has? Well, either that or Jesus didn't get His prayers answered because He prayed that in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. Dear God, I thought, am I thinking right? I mean, ugly me, no good me. But wait a minute. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, ugly me, no good me, are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How dare you to believe that? How double dog Texas dare you to believe it? And all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. What us? The sinners? The ones that believed on Him? All of us that had fallen short of the glory of God. Now listen. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing, not holding against them their trespasses, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, the Apostle Paul says, now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. I'm speaking to you as Christ Himself. As He said, He said, I'm Jesus' mouthpiece. If He's here, He'd be saying this to you. As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. He said, I'm praying you. Jesus is begging you through me. He's begging you. Be ye reconciled to God. In other words, God's, for far as God's part of it is concerned, He said, man, everything's okay with me. I ain't hot at you. I'm not holding anything against you. Jesus has given you His place with me. Now, you accept me. You take me. I've already accepted you. My God, I thought, dear Lord, can that be? Oh, but that's what it says. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. He knew no sin. Listen to that. He made Him to be sin for us. He knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Listen to that. He took our sin. He took our place. He went into hell and bore that horrible, terrible punishment there as if he was you and me. He bore all of sin in order to give us his place with God. He exchanged with us there at the cross. And when you accepted the cross, you not only accepted his death, bless God, you accepted his resurrection, and you accepted that place that he has given you in God. Hallelujah. And boy, he didn't stay in hell. I want you to know when Satan thought he had him. Yeah, I got him. Woo, I got him. I got him. I got him chained up in here. Ain't no way he's going to get out. I want you to know suddenly Jesus broke through that place and he began to tear the gates of hell down and he whipped Satan. He took him, the Bible said, in awesome conquest. He took him and made a show of him openly. In other words, he leashed him and drug him around all over hell and all over the principalities and powers and made an open show of him openly. He's conquered. He's more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. He's King of Kings. And he came up out of that tomb and he went into heaven and he presented himself before God Almighty as spotless, and his blood was shed on the heavenly seat of the covenant of God. And he came back in there and got that body and walked out of that tomb and said, all power, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go into all the earth. You take my name. Take my place. You take my place in the earth. I'm taking your place in heaven. I'll be your voice in heaven. You be my voice in the earth, and we'll be one. I'll be the head, and you be the body. I'll be the head, and you be the feet. I'll be the head, and you be the mouthpiece, and we'll go together. Glory to God. And you cast out the devil. You tell him I told you to. I love it. I love it. I love it. You just tell him I told you to and cast him out in my name and put your foot on him and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In other words, Jesus is saying, why don't you go act like me? Why don't you go take my name? I'll fill you with my spirit, put my full armor on you. Amen. Take my word and go. Now here, I began to read some of these things, and I got over here in the 6th chapter, in the 14th through the 18th verse. I began to see the separation there between that family over there and God's family over here. It said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He calls the believer righteousness and the unbeliever unrighteousness. What communion hath light with darkness? He calls the believer light and he calls the unbeliever darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. As God hath said, now listen to this. Oh, son, I want you to know, I got to reading this. I'm behind my little old desk there one afternoon, and I'm reading along here, and I got to look at this. I'll dwell in them, oh, and walk in them. You mean God is walking in me? I got to walk in around my room looking at my body and looking at my hands. No wonder he wanted us to be baptized in the mighty Spirit of the living God. No wonder he said, go. He said, I'll go with you. I'll walk with you. And listen to what he said. I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Where did he say he would be our God? In us, not off out here somewhere. Going to be right there in us, right there on you, in you, around you, under you, over you. I mean, he's there. You wall to wall, Holy Ghost. When you finally become God inside minded, I want you to know you'll give all hell more trouble than they ever knew was coming. He'll just, every time you get out of bed in the morning, the devil say, oh, no, here he comes again. My God. You know what I mean, man? And then listen to what God said. I will be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And I read that, and then I came on down into this 7th chapter. Listen to this now. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. What promises? Well, all his promises that he made him, he's not holding your trespasses against you. Be reconciled to God. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're the righteousness of God now. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You used to be an old sinner and you got saved by grace. You're the righteousness of God now. You're the family of God now. You're light and not darkness, a believer, not an infidel. You're the righteousness and not the unrighteousness of God. Praise God, I'm telling you. And then he says,
I'll be in you. I'll walk in you and I'll dwell in you. You're the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, let's believe this and start acting like it and get all that trash out of our lives. Receive us. We've wronged no man. We've corrupted no man. We've defrauded. Whoa, 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 oh, hold it. Boy, it shook me. I'm sitting behind that little desk. I won't do this Bible that way, but I went like that. I threw my Bible right straight up, and then I kind of gathered myself. I picked my Bible up off the floor. I said, wait a minute. Whoa, having therefore these promises, receive us. We've wronged no man. We've corrupted no man. We've defrauded no man. This is written by the Apostle Paul, isn't it? Yeah. And I said out loud, I said, Lord, I caught this man in a lie. He said, I've defrauded no man. I've corrupted no man. I've wronged no man. I said, right over here. Right over here. Right, look, 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 look. Right over here. It says right there that he took people into prisons, hailed them into prisons, hollered, and said he persecuted the church of God. I caught him in a lie. Boy, I want you to know, the Holy Ghost rose up on the inside of me. I'm telling you, it filled every cell of my being. I mean, it shattered my thinking, my ears, my hair stuck right straight out on end. And he spoke to me in a way that he's never had to speak to me since, and you ain't gonna never have to talk to me that way again either. He said, you watch who you call a liar. Boy, I mean, it shook me. It rattled me from the heels to my neck. He said, the man you're talking about died on the road to Damascus. It makes me weak-kneed just to think about it. The man that defrauded them, the man that cursed them, the man that beat them and killed them and hauled them into dungeons, as far as God is concerned, died out there on that road to Damascus. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this apostle of God believed it, and he walked in it, and he said, receive us. We've wronged no man. We've defrauded no man. What's he talking about? He said, I'm a born-again man. I'm a new man. I'm in Christ Jesus. Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. Jesus was made to be sin for me. I identify with his life and his resurrection, not the sin anymore. I'm not in that old family. He was my substitute, and I identify with his resurrection. I tell you, one day I was praying. I was walking around my room, and I got over into that ball and unbelief kind of dragging around junk. And I said, oh, his precious back. I'm trying to work something up. And don't sit there where you're looking at me in that silly holier-than-thou look. You've done it too. And I'm those precious stripes on his back. And the Spirit of God broke in there to me and said, shut up about that. I said, what? He said, quit bawling, squalling over the stripes on my back. He said, my back's healed. He said, quit identifying with those stripes and start identifying with the healing. He said, I bore the stripes so you could have the healing. Ooh, glory be to Jesus forevermore. My, I wish we weren't out of time. I'd cut loose and preach here a little bit, boy. Oh, glory. It's preaching ground here. Hallelujah. This camp meeting stuff, boy. You get on this where you like to go all night long, you know. Stop and shout for about 30 minutes and go again. Father, I pray over this entire television audience to catch sight of who we are in Christ Jesus, who God is in us, and what the Word will do inside us and the power of the Holy Ghost that's available to us, on us, in us, through us, about us, for us, under us, over us. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for being faithful and staying with us through the whole series, because I'm going to tell you what. Listen, prayer is at the top of the list. Prayer is where it, and prayer is not just asking and begging for stuff or trying to get things. Prayer is where you find out the manifold wisdom of God and you stay through the whole series, and you learn more, and you learn more, and we develop together. There's more training in the Believers Academy. We're all growing together. We're learning together, and we're walking together, and we're getting stronger together. Now, that's what the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is all about. That's what Believer's Voice of Victory is all about. That's what Kenneth Copeland Ministries is all about, is developing your prayer life, developing your faith, developing in the love of God, growing up into Him in all things. Amen. So stay in the academy. Don't jump and run. I mean, hey, come on back to school now where you belong. Be sure to check out all the academy courses, and we'll develop in this thing together. And remember this, God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for completing the prayer series.